Welcome to the Financial Flight Plan with Tim Estes and Bree Reyes. When it comes to your financial future, we believe the sky is the limit. We'll give you the proper tools to keep your engine portfolio running smoothly. Let us pilot the answers to some of your toughest financial issues. The Financial Flight Plan starts now.
This is Financial Flight Plan with Bree Reyes, serving you in the Metroplex with an office in Fort Worth. She is an investor coach and CFP. As always, if you'd like to get in touch with her team, you can call 817-444-8402. That's 817-444-8402. Bree, welcome back to the podcast. How are you doing today?
Hey, Mark. Doing great.
It is good to be with you. Today, we are going to do some debunking. Did you ever watch that show Mythbusters?
Love it.
Oh, man. I've heard they're bringing it back, but it's not with the same guys. Which, to me, half the fun was the host on that show.
Oh, yeah.
They did a whole week. Well, they always did Shark Week, which was always a blast. And then they did one week where every myth they ever debunked had to do with duct tape. And so they made a bridge out of duct tape, and they wrapped a car in duct tape. I always loved just to see the wacky stuff they came up with on that show.
I love the explosions. Not even gonna lie. Anytime they had a chance to go out to an airstrip or blow something up or start a fire, I was all about it.
There's just something about explosions and fire that just draws the attention. I have a buddy in the Marines, and just the other day I saw him post online a video of how they were teaching them to make explosive devices. I don't want to know, but man, it was fascinating to watch.
So leave that to the professionals.
Yes, please leave that. Do not try that at home. I actually burned an acre of field down in my backyard as a kid playing with fireworks. So leave that to the myth-busting guys. We are not going to be doing that on today's podcast, but we are going to be debunking some myths, some financial myths, that is. There's a lot of myths swirling around out there that you've probably heard, and we just want to kind of quell those and give you the truth. Let's start out with this one, Bree. Don't touch the principal, live off the interest. How many times have you heard people talk about that when it comes to their retirement accounts and living off of those accounts in retirement?
Well, that used to be a pretty commonplace philosophy or idea. But my question to them now is, what interest? Because the best CD rate I could find this morning as of this recording was 2.8% for a 5-year CD. It's been more than 20 years since a retiree could reasonably expect to live off interest that you earn at a bank. I mean, that was a CD, so that was a pretty good rate. And it's not really wise to live off interest from market-based portfolios like bond interest and stock dividends, because those income streams can fluctuate as well. So I don't know how anyone can just not touch the principal and live off the interest in today's market. It doesn't apply anymore.
That's right. It really doesn't. I think it's interesting too how, I mean, I guess technically we are in a rising interest rate environment, but interest rates are still almost at historic lows. And like you said, gone are the days where you're going to get 12% off of your CD from the bank.
Oh, yeah. No. I mean, you could go into a bank and ask, but I think they would laugh you right out the door.
Sure. Oh, and I remember just 10 years ago, my local bank, I was with a local bank then at the time, and they had this deal where you could get a high yield checking account, which I'm still not entirely sure what that means because your money's just sitting in cash. But somehow with that checking account, they gave something like 4% off of your checking. And that was 10 years ago. And of course, now if you can get 1% at your local credit union, that's, you know, probably the best you're going to find.
Exactly. So there's no interest to be had, really. You can't not touch your principal.
What about this myth, Bree? The more a financial plan weighs, the more valuable it is.
Well, that would be great for me as a financial planner, because that means every time I lifted one, I could count it as working out. But that doesn't exactly work. To me, the most valuable financial plan is one that you fully understand, like fully understand, and you're reviewing regularly. I've actually heard contemporaries boast about how it's best to confuse their clients or their prospects, so that way the client and prospect can't go anywhere because they know how important they are to them, you know, how important the financial advisor is to the picture. you should never be doing something that you don't fully understand. And if your financial advisor isn't fully explaining it to you or is making it confusing, seek a second opinion or ask more questions, because that a financial plan that just weighs a ton, I can send you home with a ton of paper, but if it doesn't mean anything and you don't understand it, it's going to do neither one of us any good.
Yes. I actually recorded another podcast recently all about financial jargon and about how you'll go in and you'll meet with these advisors and they'll just start using these words that you've just never heard of. It's all over your head. And they do that just to kind of draw you in. But at the end of the day, you don't really need the fancy jargon. You just need to know that your money's taken care of. You don't need the filler, that boilerplate filler.
Tim and I have or have talked about implementing, and I think we're going to, a jargon jar in our office, kind of like the swear jar at home, to where if we find either one of us, catch either one of us using jargon or industry speak or acronyms that nobody else understands, we're going to have to start putting money into it and then, I don't know, buy brownies for the office or something, because I hate it.
Yes. Yes, I agree. I think at the end of the day, everything you need to know can be discussed as if you were telling it to one of your kids. Maybe not a toddler, but you know, someone in fourth, fifth grade should certainly be able to understand the basics about what is going on in your financial
plan. And if you don't, seek a second opinion.
Yes.
Feel free to give our office a call. I'd be happy to talk to you.
Or a second advisor. So.
And in English.
Yes, yes. In plain, easy to understand English. That's right. Another myth is this one I think we've heard a lot. We've actually seen it a lot on TV, I think. I blame Hollywood for this one. But my life is simple, so a will is all that I'll need to have my affairs in order. How many times have we seen that in the movies where so-and-so dies, they've got a will, and they bequeath their glorious estate to their children, and the plot unfolds from there?
Oh, yeah, and it's easy, and it's simple, and nobody fights, and the world is gravy and sunshine and unicorns. Yep. I've got an example from my personal life where this was a problem. And you'd think, as a CFP with a dad that's a CFP, everything in our personal life and our family would be 100% taken care of. But my grandfather on my other side of my family, when Pat passed away, he had done all the books. He'd done everything for my grandmother. And he did it on this computer, which nowadays I think about is such a relic, because God, we're talking about when I was in high school. But the computer was password protected. And the one thing Papap didn't leave was the password.
No way. After all that, something so basic. Wow.
So, I mean, having, you know, they had a will, but it's important to know, to make sure, you know, passwords are available, especially now that we do so much online. I mean, that was back, you know, 20 years ago. Now we do everything online. You pay bills online. You access your checking account online. There's usernames and passwords for all that. There's usernames and passwords for turning on your computer and your phone and all this stuff. And wills are great. And everybody needs one. But that's not the only thing everyone needs. When someone comes into our office, even for an initial consultation, we'll tell them the four things that we think everybody should have or talk to an attorney about. Because we are not estate planning attorneys. I'm not an attorney. Is a will, a trust. If you have a trust, you should also potentially have a will, because there's stuff that always gets left out of the trust. Durable power of attorney for financial reasons. Durable power of attorney for medical reasons. And then there's the very personal decision to think about, but it's something to consider as well, is the living will, or also more commonly known as the DNR. At minimum, those are all things you should talk to an attorney about. I don't care how large or small your estate is. And then the other thing is a side letter with a will to make sure everybody knows why you're leaving things to people, because sometimes wills are just really boilerplate. I mean, we've seen people never speak again over the smallest household item because it got left to one sister and no reasoning why it didn't get left to the other one. But maybe if the mother had written a letter and explaining, I left this, you know, piece of china to your sister, and here's why I left this to you, could have caused people fighting for years. I mean, there's sisters that I know of that still don't speak because of something like that.
Yeah, I think that's the shame, too, in it all, is that you know, when you die, it's such an intimate, personal, and emotional time. And on top of that, I mean, that's, you know, you think at the time, well, this doesn't affect me, I'm going to be gone. But it affects your children and your grandchildren, your family that you're leaving behind. And
generations. It affects generations.
I mean, look at Prince. He died about a year ago now, the artist formerly known as Prince.
Formerly known as Prince, yes.
That's a bad joke to make. But about a year or so ago now, he passed away. And he had this just tremendous estate and no plan at all to go with it when he died.
No, and his home, Paisley Palace, is a wonderful music venue because he was so instrumental in the music scene in the Twin Cities. And it's up in the air completely. I mean, not only just his assets, but also this legendary music venue.
Right. And I think that's what's a shame to see is in situations like that, we talk about celebrities, but, you know, just more importantly, you know, me and you, the average Joe, when we go, it's, again, such an emotional time. And you just want to make sure that your loved ones are taken care of in those moments. And you don't want fights to break out over your fine china when you go. You want everybody to be taken care of, and you want your affairs to be in order. I think, speaking of taking care of folks when you're gone, what about this line? You've probably heard this one. My spouse will be fine when I'm gone. He or she will only need half as much income anyway.
This is always an interesting one because people think once the spouse is out of the picture, they're only going to spend half as much. Well, does Charter Communications or your internet provider or your TV provider call and ask how many people are watching TV or using the internet? You know, your bills really don't decrease that much between two people and one person. You know, property taxes don't get cut in half because it's only one spouse, not two. And most bills really don't get sliced. And so we found that people really need more like 80, 85% of the income when it's only one spouse versus two. And then the other thing, and this I've seen, and this breaks my heart. My first client, once I got in the industry a million years ago, was a widow whose husband had just passed, and he had made all the household decisions. And I've told this story before, I think, on the podcast, but made all the household decisions. And so she didn't even need, she was grieving, she was going through trying to figure out how to move on with her life, and she didn't even know how to fill out a check. And Mark, she thought the number of checks she had in her checkbook equaled the number of dollars she had in the account.
No way.
I wish. And God, don't even think about a debit card. So explaining, you know, just even a basic budget of here's how much and where's the money coming from. I mean, there's so many people out there that, you know, we actually found for her, we found a life insurance policy about 6 months after he died that she didn't even know he had.
Yikes. And a lot of times, like you said, I mean, that just simply comes from one person being the one driving the financial conversations and decisions. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, you know, when you get married, you designate your roles, and then that's what you do for the next 50 years. But you need to know something, generally speaking, what's going on in your finances. And more importantly, you need to be sure that when you're gone, your loved ones will be taken care of, especially if you've been the person managing the finances for all those years. I think that's pretty common, Bree, that we see that. In fact, my fiance's grandmother passed away suddenly last year, and in a similar position where, you know, one of them had been doing the finances the entire time and life changed in an instant. And luckily they were prepared, but, you know, you've been together for so, so long. It's, again, emotional time, and especially if one person's been doing most of the financial heavy lifting through the years, you need to make sure that the other one's going to be prepared.
Oh, yeah. And not even just, I mean, we've just talked about how the income amount, but what if they have picked single life payments on social or some types of pensions or an annuity, and then we have to look at the change in Social Security. I mean, there's so many different things. This is part of the reason that Tim and I are implementing a generations concept into our firm, where we will meet the beneficiaries and sit down and kind of talk over the plan if you'd like. So that way they know what's going on, or in that way both spouses know who to call, because that's the biggest thing. When you're grief-stricken, when you lose a loved one, you don't want to be the one tracking everything down. You need to know who to call. And that's what we do here at Estes Financial. We are the people to call.
That's right. And it really all starts with that phone call as well. Now, if you want to get that plan in place, all you have to do is call the team at 817-444-8402. We'll give you that number again later on. That's 817-444-8402. But if you start with a simple phone call today and get that plan in place, then when the time comes, all your loved one will have to do again will be to give the team a call, and you'll have a plan in place to make sure they are taken care of. Bree, one more myth to unpack before we wrap up the podcast today. When I retire, I need to dramatically shift from stocks to bonds in my portfolio. This is a very 90s myth, in my opinion.
This is go, go, go 90s, where nothing was volatile and the market was just up, 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 up. I don't agree with this necessarily, because everybody's situation is different. Inflation is still around. Taxes are still around. You might actually need to increase your stock holdings if all of your income is guaranteed by a pension. And most pensions don't have inflation protection on them at all. Or if they do, the cost of living or inflation, right, it's just so small. It's not really keeping pace with inflation. Or you need to scale back on both stocks and bonds and think about other investments, that like a personal pension if you don't have a pension through work, or life insurance. This is not just a cut or dry issue. I was talking to Tim yesterday and I was like, I wish the world was black and white. When it gets gray, it drives me nuts. And so much of everything we do is gray, because so much of it is what is specific for the client, what is in your best interest, and what fits your situation. And everybody's different.
That's right. Everybody is different. It's all about finding out what's the best fit for you. And it's all about getting a plan in place so that you can avoid some of these myths, and so that when the time comes, you will be well prepared, not just to get to retirement, but to get all the way through retirement. Bree, what does it generally look like when folks come in with your office and meet with you and the team?
Oh, it's so much fun. We have our first meeting is really just kind of a get to know you meeting. You know, you get to know us and interview us, and we ask you questions and get to know you. And then if we decide to move forward, and we all like each other, that's the biggest thing, because we're not a right fit for everybody. Our shop is boring. We aren't looking to do, you know, triple digit returns on portfolios or anything like that. We're immediately that type of thing. We're solid financial planning, solid investment advice. And so some people like to brag about their picking up, you know, this stock at a cocktail party. We're not the right fit for you. But we come in and we get to know each other on that first meeting. And then the second meeting, we put a plan together and we work together on it. Because it's like years ago, and I did Nutrisystems because I thought I wanted to lose a little weight. And the great thing about Nutrisystems is they tell you what food you're eating and you really have no choice. And you follow the system. And I did that for a good 6 months. And then I had a piece of chocolate cake. And after I had the piece of chocolate cake, I thought, okay, I'm going to have a piece of pizza. And pretty quickly, you fall off the Nutrisystem plan. Because it's not, everything's being dictated to you and you aren't participating in it. And I found that when you do a financial plan that way, when I just tell everybody, look, here's how much you can live off of and this is what you have to do, it's not as impactful for all of us unless we work together on it. Because what you want and your dreams and your goals are your thoughts, and I can't guess those. So I can kind of put something together roughly, but really it's a fun meeting. It's a collaborative meeting. We get to say, what about this and this scenario, and really work together. And it's a lot of fun. Then we take it and we look at what we've done and we figure out how to implement it, how to make it work. I find so many other financial advisors work on, well, this is how we implement, and then we'll figure out your goals and we'll figure out your plan. In our world, it works completely differently, because what you may have right now might work with the plan I'm going to put in place, but we need to know what the plan is before we figure out how to get there.
That's right. It's important to get a plan in place, and you can do that by calling the team, 817-444-8402. That's 817-444-8402, 817-444-8402. Again, come in for a visit. Get a plan in place that will help you have a meaningful retirement. Live that abundant life, as we always talk about here on the podcast. Call 817-444-8402. That's 817-444-8402. This has been the Financial Flight Plan Podcast. Bree, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Mark. And everybody, go out and live an abundant life.